On today's Compassion Radio.
No matter what we're doing in life, I am convinced that because we are endowed with the imprint of a creator God, that we are creative. We reflect His nature. The question is not whether or not we're creative. It's simply what we're creating.
Hello, friends. Bram Floria here with an all-new Compassion Radio interview. And it begs a big question, namely, what have you created recently? If your first response is, well, I'm no Michelangelo or Shakespeare, what do you mean? Then congratulations, you're perfectly normal. But is that the kind of normal that God really wants for us? Today's interview tackles the question of godly creativity and so much more. Welcome aboard.
Andy Krieger's back with me on Compassion Radio today. Andy, thanks for coming back.
Glad to be here.
Now, I drop through your neck of the woods every once in a while, and this past year you've entertained me twice on very short notice. Thanks for doing that. Now, we have a common history in doing music missions together back in the 80s and 90s.
Yep.
We were baked in during those years the ethic of excellence. Do the best you can in everything you do, because we were focusing on bringing the gospel to new places and encouraging churches and organizations that didn't have a whole lot of encouragement. So we go through and we offer the best we could and, you know, inflate the balloon a little bit. Keep some aloft in the ministry everywhere we go. And that, it's sadly, we're in a generation where there's not as much of that kind of mutual encouragement going on between churches or organizations to churches. Mm-hmm. Churches are pretty much left alone now. And I worry about that a bit, because there's something to be said for breathing life into each other. But there are lots of new ways and new media and things that have come up in this generation that have never been available to the church. And it means that there's new avenues for ministry, even in jobs and vocations that would not have seemed to be ministry opportunities in our day. Mm-hmm. And you made a shift out of full-time vocational ministry just a few years ago. We talked about that in our last set of programs. Mm-hmm. And now you are a professional photographer. You do weddings. What other kinds of things do you do?
Mostly weddings and senior portraits. I do some family portraits every now and then and some commercial product photography. But weddings are the staple of my business.
And it's obviously a big business. Everybody in the country gets a good picture or so done at certain times and hallmarks of their life.
Sure.
But it's not really considered much of a ministry thing. It's just one of those functions our society expects. Send a good picture to your grandparents at the end of school, or make sure everyone gets a copy of a good shot from the wedding. But it is, in your mind, because of our common experience, it is a ministry opportunity, and it's a calling.
Right.
So describe to me how you go from a full-time vocational minister to somebody who's missional in a secular-style job.
It's interesting that you would say that, because I've... Even just now, as you were speaking to that, thinking back down through the years, and I've always, always, always in my own mind wondered, why do people draw a definition between a ministry, quote-unquote, job and a non-ministry job? There really shouldn't be that line that separates the two.
Right, and I'll agree with you intellectually on that, because everyone would say, well, of course, you need to be thinking about being a Christian wherever you are and caring about people. Everyone should be sharing the four spiritual laws every time they meet somebody. So it seems. But there's more to it than just an intellectual assent. What do you mean by living missionally?
I think where I'm coming from, and you and I just referred to that a few moments ago as we just greeted each other again over a cup of coffee, in that God deserves my best. And so if I'm behind a pulpit, I'm going to give Him my best. That's not my calling, so you're not going to see me behind a pulpit. But if I'm pushing the shutter button on my camera, I'm going to give Him my best. Because what I produce, whether it's in my relationships or in my job, reflects my relationship with God. And so that's how I draw the connection between ministry and what I do. God deserves my best. My clients do as well.
Okay, but hold there for a second. Yeah, God deserves your best. I get the idea. But mm-hmm. practically speaking, how does God get your best when you ask someone to turn another direction and take that last picture and add more to the reel? When you're going through that perfect picture, how does that glorify God?
God's creation is amazing. And as a photographer, when I show His creation, I want to show it to the best of my ability. We, in life, only get one chance to make a first impression. When somebody sees one of my photos, I need to think about it that same way. And yeah, when they look at it, many times they're looking not to see who the photographer was, but at the same time, they'll ask, wow, that's great. Who took that photo? I honestly believe I can show God's creation to the best of my ability. You know, Scripture even says that even if we don't know, somebody has never told us about Jesus, when we look at creation, we see God, and we know there is a creator. If I can help point somebody towards that by showing beauty in his creation, whether it's a person, a landscape, whatever it is, that's what I've been called to do. So that's what I'm going to do.
My daughter just had her wedding, and for us, of course,
the pictures look great, by the way.
So I'm glad to hear that, and I'll pass along your kudos to the photographer. When they were taking the pictures, I'm looking at them with different eyes as a dad. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not just seeing just the artistic bent of it. Mm-hmm. I look at these pictures, I'm seeing love, but not just love between my daughter and her new husband. I'm seeing the love of the people that love them. And that was captured beautifully by the photographer that they hired for this event. Mm-hmm. They captured who they were. Mm-hmm. And so I look at that and say, yes, he got it right. That's my daughter. Mm-hmm. I know her. And these are exactly the kind of moments that she will cherish. And that because of that, I realize as a father, this is the kind of moment that God cherishes. He made her for this. He made her beautiful. And for us to recognize and acknowledge to God that she is beautiful, it's a worshipful event. Mm-hmm. And as a dad, I'm thanking God every moment for the fact that I have kids that love him this way and have friends around them that love them so much. It's all right there on the canvas, so to speak.
God created us as creative beings, too, and he has illustrated his beauty. You know, just look in Scripture at some of the descriptions of the temples, of artifacts, and the beauty that's described in those things. Nothing has changed today. His creation is still the same. And we need to show his beauty in creation and what we create.
Okay, so you have a tool to do that. You literally have a lens on the world, and you turn an eye, and you ask for God's eye on these things. Mm-hmm. You make beautiful work, and people have been very pleased with your artistic sense. And if they don't even see the spiritual aspects of it, they see the quality. What about the accountant? What about the person who changes tires? Or the person who's a manager at Walmart that has to take care of inventory? They're not, as you would say in your field, a creative occupation, because they're not creating something that people would look and admire in different settings away from where the work happens. And yet, God is expecting excellence there, and it brings joy to those who give excellence to God as an act of worship. How would you speak to those people who are not, quote-unquote, creative, but want to have the same ethic of excellence in what they do because they love Jesus?
That's a really deep question, but it doesn't need to be answered super deep, in that it simply goes back to the fact that God deserves our best. And when we do that, it reflects him. I have a responsibility to reflect. I'm a Christ follower. So if I'm doing something that doesn't reflect that, that doesn't reflect my relationship with him, I'm not doing what I've been called to do. So it really comes down to, you know, that's not a deep answer. It's not anything profound other than God deserves my best. Whether I'm changing a tire, whether I'm creating art, whether I'm digging a trench, whatever, you know, God deserves my best. Our relationships that we develop with people deserve our best as well. And as an artist or as a technician or whatever you may find yourself, whatever profession it may be, when you do your best, that's going to allow yourself to build relationships with your clients, with your customers, that gives you many times an open door to explain, hey, you know, thanks for complimenting me on what I do. I do it because of this. It doesn't mean that you're going to lead that person to Christ or you're going to be the world's greatest evangelist because I'm a Christian plumber, but it might open a door for you. Do your best. Let what you do reflect that relationship with the Lord that you have. Let him open that door and then walk through it.
Hi again, friends. Since we took responsibility for this 75-year-old ministry, Sandy and I have committed ourselves to chase the Word together in our own lives and to challenge you, our partners, to do the same. We'll be at our best when we stick with God's Word and let Him guide us where He wants us to go. You also know that the what and the where for Compassion Radio has always been at the very leading edge of where God's hand is at work, anywhere in the world that might be. Every day, we invite you to join us through your faithful prayers, actions, and giving. Just this week, our strategic ministry partner for Bible placement, John Podiety, pled with me to come join him in the Middle East this spring. The church there is exploding among Muslim background believers. John wants the world to know what's really going on there, and he wants Compassion Radio to tell that story. And friends, I want to go. Wouldn't you? Every time we go to the front lines of faith, it inspires your faith and your giving to the Great Commission as much as it does ours. But I can't say yes to John until our faithful partners, and that means you, step up and make it possible. It's our strong desire to be going deeper, to go farther, to be braver than we've ever been in this year of 2020, and to bring you the stories that you just won't hear anywhere else. So I'll ask you this, will you help us do that? Friends, I simply ask that you would keep giving so that we can give back to the world through our strategic ministry partners and to you with inspiring programming on this radio station and over the internet. Here's how. The first and best way to reach us is through our website, CompassionRadio.com. It's available 24/7. Our safe and secure order form there will get your gift to the places needed most, and we'll do it right away. You can also support us with a call during Pacific Time business hours at 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. You can also text COMPASSION to 53445 to give right through your phone, no matter where you are. Of course, you can also put a stamp on an envelope and mail your gift to our Compassion Radio office, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Again, that's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. However you give, we'd love to hear more about why you believe in Compassion Radio. We so much value your messages and letters. And know this, your gift is deeply appreciated. Thank you for loving us in this way.
Do your best. Let what you do reflect that relationship with the Lord that you have. Let Him open that door and then walk through it.
Reminds me of some of those anecdotes over history of historians discovering sculptures into cathedrals. Mm-hmm. Of course they're artistic, but they're aimed at places no one would ever see. Mm-hmm. Because the artist, when he was creating the block, didn't know which way that block might face. Mm-hmm. And made sure that every surface was to the glory of God, so that wherever it was put, and even if only the eye of God could see it, it would glorify Him. Mm-hmm. And that's an attitude. It's not about perfection in the sense of technical perfection, like we have to prove to God that we are perfect. It is the perfect application of love, I think, to say that I'm going to give it my all because that's all I got. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the only thing I have to worship and offer to God purely for the benefit of giving Him something as a gift.
Right.
Now let's talk about the complications of that. It's great to say, give your best in everything. What about those who have experienced time after time unappreciation? For those who are unto the Lord doing their very best at things and are not recognized for it, are passed over for promotions, don't see the light at the end of the tunnel for a dead-end job, so to speak. There are a lot of people that feel that way. And I'm not going to say that it's all about fake it till you make it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say anything about that kind of mentality.
Right.
I don't think it's about us conquering things by sheer willpower.
Right.
There are plenty of people that do an excellent job that are truly hated by somebody up the chain because they reflect something they don't like, mm-hmm. or that offends them. And you can't be unoffensive to people who want to be offended by Jesus. What do you say to those people that are wanting to honor the Lord but are really frustrated?
I think it's important for you to know what your calling is. Mm. God doesn't call all of us to be at the top of the food chain as far as recognition goes. Mm-hmm. God calls us to whatever position He has called us to. And if that means I'm the greeter at Walmart, I'm going to be the best greeter at Walmart that I can be. And if somebody looks down on me because of that, I need to remember that God placed me in that position. That means that I'm honoring Him in that position. That's what I've been called to do. Yeah, it hurts when somebody vocalizes to you, you know, how come you're not doing this? Or how come you're not doing that? How come you're not climbing up the chain? You just need to remember where God has called you to be. We as human beings want, many times, recognition. We want to climb up that food chain or whatever it may be. But it's really, really important that we get our satisfaction and our fulfillment knowing where God has placed us. Worldly recognition is great. It's enjoyable. It can be financially rewarding. But that's not all there is. What's really important is that you're honoring God where you're at, doing what He's called you to do. The eternal rewards of doing that far outweigh the financial rewards of climbing the ladder of success.
And I would say that empirically that is true. The scripture resonates with that thought in a zillion ways. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about something eternal in the sense of time to come. Mm-hmm. I do strongly believe that eternity is something that's here and now. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about stepping into something that God already has for us in the present. And I'm big on that. I don't believe there's any steps down in God's plan. There's only steps further in. And because of that, he'll bring glory when he wants to bring glory. But the point is, we need to understand and enter into his approval of us where we are.
Let me share with you an example that just came to my mind as you were talking about that. And it's on my heart because this afternoon I'm driving across state to see my parents, who are both getting older and starting to have some health issues. My father, who's approaching 80 at this point, retired 15, 20 years ago. He's not content to just sit around and do nothing. Good. He loves kids. And through a series of circumstances, found himself being a substitute teacher. To this day, he's still doing that, and he's almost 80 years old.
How old are the kids that he's teaching?
He does mostly high schools. But what's amazing to me is, you know, we think of a substitute teacher maybe as somebody who's not finished their college education or who knows what. It's not a position of high prestige.
But underpaid and overstressed.
Absolutely. Yeah. But he knows that God has put him in that position to open doors. The kids love him. In fact, to the point where the teachers request him months ahead. They love him. For example, this seems silly, but a couple of years ago, one of the schools that he substitutes at, when they had their homecoming parade, one of the classes asked my dad simply to be on their homecoming parade float because his physical characteristics looks like the old guy from the animated movie Up. And so here's my dad riding on this float because he looks like that old guy. The kids just love him. And so he uses that as his ministry. This past year, he was in a classroom one day and in walks a camera crew from the school news department. They ask if they could interview him and he's thinking, this is strange. I'm a substitute teacher. What are they going to ask me about, you know? Well, he agreed to it, and they began to just chat with him, and they asked him, why is it that you love substitute teaching so much? Why do you still do it? And my dad's response was perfect, and he said, because I was created by God, and the more that I learn about God's creation, the more I understand it, the more I can honor him in his creation. So here's my dad in a public school setting, giving his testimony to students without any interruption. He shared his faith with them.
Because the question was asked.
Right. So he made the assumption afterwards, oh, this will never make it into whatever they're going to use this for. A couple weeks later, he saw the production. It showed on the in-house televisions there at the school there during their announcement time. They used all of it. So my dad was able to share his testimony with that whole entire school. Because God placed him in that position. He was happy in that position and happy to take advantage of the opportunity to honor God there. So that's what it's all about.
And this all goes to a sense of identity and purpose and identifying with it, accepting God's judgment of us and his calling on us and living in it. Let's go another left turn here and talk about those who are not sure they have that calling. It may have been around the Word of God or the church or even have Jesus in their heart for years and years, but have never really crossed over that line themselves and said, you know, I could be that kind of person too. Maybe they're afraid of being found out for being frauds, or they feel like a hypocrite, even if they aren't, but the sense of false guilt might be on their lives for whatever happened in the past. And they carry the trauma of that event or that mistake or that embarrassment or that shame over years. What would you say to those kind of people? What's ahead for them?
It really comes down to understanding how God looks at you. All of us are fallen. What does that mean? It just simply means that none of us is perfect. None of us. The world tells us we need to be perfect. Look at the billboards you see going down the road. Look at the ads you see on TV, the magazines. Picture perfect everywhere. It's just simply unattainable. As a photographer, even with my seniors that I shoot, I might have a beautiful senior, but guess what? I'm going to still do some touch-up work on that picture. Nobody is perfect. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. It's important that I recognize my own position, my own failures, understand that the only way I will ever, ever be perfect is by being forgiven, being made whole. Not always easy to do, because we are so bombarded with standards. The only standard that counts is the one that God sets.
And he only sets it for himself. Mm-hmm. That's the thing I love about the whole idea of grace. He does set a standard of perfection, but was never on us to lose. It was always on him to prove. Mm-hmm. And he simply says, step in and follow me into something I already am capable of helping you do. Mm-hmm. I do believe God never sets us up to fail. And shame can be a useful tool in getting us to face the truth, but it's not God's intention for us. Certainly not to wallow in shame or embarrassment or pride that comes with not wanting our shame to be known. Mm-hmm. I want to live a life that's worthy too. I mean, I'm in a ministry now that's unique because I have to straddle the world of reporting, media, ministry, and just learning to love people as I go. I'm a discoverer. I travel to find stories like yours, Andy. Mm-hmm. And I try to bring them to people who want to know what God's doing in the hearts and minds of people so they can aspire to that too, or at least have hope when things are really rough. So I don't believe God ever sets us up or brings us down for no reason. Mm-hmm. He has a purpose, and his purpose is always for our good. Mm-hmm. And he's going to make good out of us. That's my hope for anybody who's hearing the program today is maybe you got a hard left turn in your life you were not expecting or a setback. Or things are right now looking pretty dismal. Mm-hmm. It's quite possible. And nonetheless, in that moment of trial, can you honor God and bring him glory and be satisfied mm-hmm. in doing that? That's my final question for you.
Absolutely you can. I found myself in that position several years ago. I'd been in full-time ministry, if you want to call it that, my whole adult life. Through a series of circumstances that were overwhelming, I got to the point where I realized I need to make a change. I have to change. I have to get out of this position I'm in. I need to move. I was discouraged. I was scared. I didn't know what to do. My self-esteem was really low. At the same time, you know, I have an obligation. I've got my family. I've got a mortgage. I've got all these things. It was just overwhelming, you know. But I looked to God and said, okay, you're going to have to show me what is next here. I didn't feel like I was at a point where we could move to another town. I could have found another ministry position. I was successful enough. I knew I could do that. But I just felt like, no, I just need to go a different direction. So what I did is I basically said, okay, God, show me what my passions are, what I can do. Show me what's available. You've made me a creative person. You've given me passions for things and abilities for things for a reason. Help me to decipher a new view of what those could look like, what I can do with those things. So I went from being in music and worship to photography because it's part of the creative arts. I'm good with tech. I knew I could understand that. I could learn the stuff I didn't know. Amazingly enough, it only took a few months, and I was not quite full-time, but close enough to the point where I felt confident in what I was doing. God provided through my wife and her job. It was a scary time. But just going back to what you said, when you get to that point, look to God and look at what he's gifted you with because they're there for a reason. If you're great with changing tires, great. How can you do that to glorify God? Maybe there's a new way that you could use that. Who knows? But God knows. Look for where he's taken you.
And as our spiritual mentors have been teaching Sandy and I, learning to ask in the moment, God, what do you want me to know about this, is one of the most important questions to entering into that sense of completeness and identity, because God does have a purpose. He does have a meaning for that moment, and he does want us to know something about his intentions, but we don't tend to ask that question. And I would say you're in the creative arts. That was an important modifier to it being creative. No matter what we're doing in life, I am convinced that because we are endowed with the imprint of a creator God, that we are creative. We reflect his nature. The question is not whether or not we're creative. It's simply what we're creating. I know that a lot of us stop and say, I can create nothing. So they do that very thing. But they're creating that all the time. So we are going to be creative people. The question is what we are going to choose to create. I want to choose beauty. And I know you've already stepped into that in a photography sense. People who don't even understand what your passions are can look at your handiwork and say, wow, that's really good. And the same thing can be true of any other field.
Absolutely.
Someone can look at a tire who knows how tires need to be mounted and say, that was mounted well.
Yeah.
You know, it's not going to lose air, and that's the right job. It's done perfectly.
Right.
Our God is perfect for us, and therefore he is perfecting us because he loves us. And he's not judging us in the process of becoming great creators. He knows we're creative. We can't help it. I want to be the kind of creator that God not only loves, but is also really inspired by. I'm inspired by my kids when they do something I did not expect.
Right.
I know God knows everything that's going to happen, so that's a different level here. But I do believe he really, truly enjoys us when we step into something and accept the fact that we are truly his created beings and his creative beings.
Right.
Thanks for sharing your story, Andy.
Thanks. I'm glad I've got something to offer to you.
You do. And this is true of all the people we talk to. Everybody has a story. And the story is something that is a God-written and God-writing story. We just need to be brave enough to share it. And thank you for being that brave one today on Compassion Radio.
Great.
As we close the program today, can I ask you for something? Let us know how we're doing. Simply call or write us through email, our website, or our P.O. Box. Here's my direct email, which you can use anytime. BramFloria@CompassionRadio.com. To learn more about our history, our projects, to hear our podcast, and to make your love gift, simply go to our website, CompassionRadio.com. Our toll-free number is manned during business hours Pacific time at 1-800-868-2478. If you get voicemail, just leave a full message and we will call you back as soon as the office is open. You can also write us and send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. God bless you, friends. Come back and join us for tomorrow's Compassion Radio.